It was not Roosevelt's nature to speak without substance or to act on unproved theory. He took a pragmatic proof-of-the-pudding approach to American democracy. Americans were being treated to photographs of Russian power stations and German autobahns that suggested some opposition between efficiency and humanity. But Roosevelt knew that the only way to prove that the opposition was false was by results. The American tree would be judged by its fruit. In October of 1937, he calls a special session of the Congress to deal with a frustratingly tenacious depression. He says that prosperity and peace are indissolubly wed, and that the government is the most efficient agent for self-help. His message to Congress of April 14, 1938, reiterates the theme that without a responsive and sensitive government, poverty becomes the breeding ground for totalitarianism.
My friends, this afternoon I have issued a proclamation calling a special session of the Congress to convene on Monday, November 15, 1937. Those who do not like democracy want to keep legislators at home. But the Congress is an essential instrument of democratic government, and democratic government can never be considered an intruder into the affairs of a democratic nation. I shall ask this special session to consider immediately certain important legislation which on my recent trip through the nation convinces me the American people immediately need. The kind of prosperity we want is the sound and permanent kind, which is not built up temporarily at the expense of any section or group, and the kind of peace we want is the sound and permanent kind, which is built on the cooperative search for peace by all the nations which want peace. The people of the United States, we do not look on government as an interloper in their affairs. On the contrary, they regard it as the most effective form of organized self-help. They want the financial budget balanced, these American people. But they want the human budget balanced as well. So we intend this winter to find a way to prevent 4.5 cent cotton and 9 cent corn and 30 cent wheat, with all the disaster those prices mean for all of us, to prevent those prices from ever coming back again. I have just visited much of the work that the national government is doing to stop soil erosion, to save our forests, to prevent floods, to produce electric power for more general use, and to give people a chance to move from poor land to better land by irrigating thousands of acres that need only water to provide an opportunity to make a good living. I am a firm believer in fully adequate pay for all labor. But right now I am most greatly concerned in increasing the pay of the lowest paid labor, those who are our most numerous consuming group, but who today do not make enough to maintain a decent standard of living, or to buy the food and the clothes and the other articles necessary to keep our factories and farms fully running. The average businessman knows that a high cost of living is a great deterrent to business, and that business prosperity depends much upon a low price policy which encourages the widest possible consumption. The development of civilization and of human welfare is based on the acceptance by individuals of certain fundamental decencies in their relation with each other. And equally, the development of peace in the world is dependent similarly on the acceptance by nations of certain fundamental decencies in their relation with each other. From 1913 to 1921, I personally was fairly close to world events. And in that period, while I learned much of what to do, I also learned much of what not to do. The common sense, the intelligence of the people of America agree with my statement that America hates war. America hopes for peace. Therefore, America actively engages in the search for peace.